Hello and welcome to the Worcester Observer podcast. I'm your host, Rob George. Joining us as ever is the lovely Claire Bullivant. Claire, welcome.
Hello, lovely to be here.
And I thought I'd start a little bit different because you know we like to mix it up on the Worcester Observer podcast, and I'd reflect on last night's TV debate between Boris Johnson and Jeremy Hunt, the men in contention to be the next Prime Minister. I don't buy into the next Conservative leadership. They're going to be Prime Minister. Yes, they're going to be Conservative leader, but let's face it, they're going for a bigger job than that. And I have to say, very impressed with both.
Were you?
Those sort of things never favour the favourite because there's always banana skins. There was no banana skins as far as I could see. Yes, he's evasive and doesn't answer the questions, but...
But again, I was thinking about this. Why? He's silly not to be evasive. As he said on the panel, he doesn't want to be showing all his hands to Europe.
No, exactly.
So he doesn't want to answer some of those questions. So fair enough, Boris. I totally agree.
Exactly. And I think it was, in terms of his media people would be like, right, no slip-ups. Absolutely no slip-ups at all. I think we had it a couple of weeks ago, I got the Donald Trump thing. I get the Boris Johnson thing now.
Hmm.
I get why he appeals to the masses in the Conservative Party, but I still have the fear that he's not the Boris he was 4 years ago.
Right.
Before the EU referendum came along, I think the Conservative Party could have parachuted him in as leader and he'd win election after election because he was the Heineken candidate. He would reach voters that others couldn't.
Hmm.
Now I think he's just too divisive.
I think he's very optimistic, and I think that goes against the grain of a lot of British people. They don't like the optimism somehow from people I've spoken to this morning. So who knows? But I like that aspect of him. I love his optimism. But of course, as Hunt kept saying, you've got to be realistic, Boris, etc. I don't know. Somehow it would be good to mesh them together, wouldn't it?
Indeed. And I tweeted out last night, and I stand by it this morning completely. Boris Johnson told the Conservative Party what it wanted to hear. Jeremy Hunt actually... That was close. Jeremy Hunt told the Conservative Party what it needed to do.
Right.
And you're right with them. The mashup, if you like, if you could create a hybrid Johnson-Hunt candidate that could tell the party what it wanted to hear and mash it up with what it needs to do, the Conservative Party would be unbeatable.
I did like the woman who was...
Julia Chingham.
She did a great job.
Yes, I think we should praise.
Yeah, much, much better than the one on BBC.
But it was such a simple... The BBC could have had that debate had they not complicated the format.
Mm.
Clearly, ITV went, we're going to take viewers' questions, we're going to invite them to ask the question, and then as moderator, all Julie Etchingham did, and she did it brilliantly, is put the question and give the contender the space to answer.
Right, yeah.
And then let the other contender speak, and then did what all good journalists do, say, right, hang on, you've said that, but and then bring in the conjecture and the challenging.
Mm.
The BBC could have done that.
The one thing I don't like about Jeremy Hunt is the fact that he's always playing up how amazing he was for the NHS and how the NHS love him. They all hate him.
Mm.
They all absolutely... My cousin's a doctor at the NHS, and she was saying that no doctors or nurses have anything nice to say about him. But he's always making out that he's just done amazing things for the NHS.
It's the strong leader thing. He's trying to say, ah, yes, but I delivered the things that mattered and it wasn't popular.
Mm.
Well, no, it wasn't popular. And I kind of get where he's being led on that because people are saying, well, you can't renounce on it now because you're going to be Prime Minister. And if you renounce on it now, people will just go, oh, well, that proves all what we were saying all along. But the challenge to Johnson is not great. I mean, I was rolling my eyes a couple of times watching it last night when he was desperately trying to hold Johnson to account. And I thought, Jeremy, you've no position of strength there.
You're never going to win against Boris, though, are you? Because he'll use his cheeky smile and his grin and
he
gets away with it.
But also, he's almost like, he's behaving like the race is, we don't know how the Conservative Party... We know the membership is going to vote for Boris Johnson. We just know.
Do you think it's in the bag?
Yes.
For sure?
Yes.
Right.
Because they want Brexit.
Right.
And they believe Boris will deliver that. My question is, and I've no doubt I like the enthusiasm, and there was a line in there last night that I want to get into my copy at some point if I possibly can.
Tell me it's the hamster wheel of doom.
Hamster wheel of doom, yes.
That was the best line.
We have to get off the hamster wheel of doom. I thought, that sums Brexit up for 3 years, the hamster wheel of doom.
Boris is just amazing with his... Yeah, nobody's cleverer than Boris. And I love the fact that he is such a good negotiator. Like, he will go to France and he will be tough. He speaks fluent French. Mm. Perfect French. You know, that goes a long way in Europe, being able to do deals. And I mean, I'm just praying, really. I really hope that he can
I think he can. And I mean, far be it from me to advise the future Prime Minister of this country. But I think if he bottled the optimism he had for his country and said, look, we want to go and we're going to go, but after we've gone, we want to be optimistic for the whole of Europe, but we just want to be out of it.
Absolutely. We want those free trade deals. Yeah. We want your business. We want to keep working with you.
I think if he preaches isolationism, that'll rub the EU up the wrong way. If he says, look, we're going to go because we've voted and our people have voted to go, but after we've gone, we want to ride the wave together, but just separately, I think... It's great. I fear, though, that he's put all his eggs into October the 31st, and I think, prudently, it would have been better saying, well, I want to renegotiate, and renegotiation takes time, so if we can't do it by October the 31st, I will make sure it'll be me that announces and says, I want to get there, and I think we can do it, but we're going to need a bit longer.
But I think that's exactly against his philosophy, isn't it? That's what he's been preaching about.
But my problem is that if he runs away from no deal, which is a possibility, because Parliament is against it anyway, his hands are tied, because then he would have to go for a general election, and you don't know if he would get a majority.
Mm.
I mean, to me, the only way you end this mess, you could elect who you want. You have to elect a new parliament. The only way out to resolve this one way or another is elect a new parliament, because the current one we've got is the massive roadblock.
Yeah.
Elect them and put it all to the vote and say, right, Brexit now hangs on this general election, and see what the people want. If the Brexit Party are returned and a coalition can be built that is a Brexit coalition, then that's the country's verdict. But I don't know. I worry that he's got the conditional support of people. And I think if we don't exit on October the 31st, I worry that the men in grey suits that brought Theresa May down will be after him and say, well, hang on, you were this great white hope. It's now November the 1st and we're still not out of the European Union.
Mm.
I don't know. I think it's very good. I'd like to have seen him tested by a better... candidate. I think Jeremy Hunt will always be foreign secretary,
yeah.
And have high-level cabinet jobs, but never the top job.
I loved the last question where that young chap in the audience said, if you had to say one nice thing about your opponent, each other, what would you say? And Boris said something like... I can't even remember what he was saying.
He likes to change his mind
and he supports the right party or something, yeah. But that was funny. What a great question.
I do not think they like each other.
No.
I think the animosity at times, you could see, it's like, oh, you're behaving like gentlemen, but if this was 2 hours later, about 10:30, you might be effing and blinding,
yeah,
at each other.
Absolutely.
It's fascinating. I think it's a done deal. I think end of this month, Boris Johnson will be Prime Minister. Where we go from then?
We're just going to have to hope that he really does deliver and he stays strong and he gets uses his persuasion to make these deals.
Well, we'll not all of us believe that, obviously. I just want a resolution to it because I'm sick of writing about it. I've just put the Evesham letters page together and I welcome all your letters, but they're all about Brexit again from both sides of the divide.
What did you think about Jeremy Hunt saying that he would keep the ambassador for America?
Well, this is breaking news.
Okay.
He's gone.
Oh, is he gone?
Yes.
Oh.
As I've walked up here to record this.
Wow. This is being recorded on Wednesday afternoon.
Wednesday morning, Kim Darroch has resigned as ambassador before the end of his term. And to be honest, it's it's a shambles, and whoever leaked that needs to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
Mm.
Because ambassadors should be... don't be under any illusion for 1 minute. Kim Darroch is the only ambassador to any of the countries...
Who doesn't like the White House or
that
Trump.
Has written to the Prime Minister and gone, the leader of X country is a bit of a, you know, a moron.
Mm.
Because ambassadors for years, going back years, please do not be led down the rabbit hole that Kim Darroch is some sort of rogue and he's never liked Trump. Kim Darroch has done his job superbly, and part of that is writing to civil servants and writing to the leadership that he serves and says, on the ground, they should be... We have set a hugely dangerous precedent now, because now ambassadors may not feel that they can communicate what they're feeling and what actually is going on.
Yeah.
And I think whoever leaked it, and I have my suspicions who leaked it, should be prosecuted.
Well, you have your suspicions.
Mm.
So, well, how do you know who it was sent to?
If it goes to the Mail on Sunday, is a very pro-Boris newspaper and a very pro-Leave newspaper.
Right.
The interests of a certain candidate would be backed by losing the US ambassador so that a friendly ambassador could be installed. But they couldn't wait until the end of the year, when actually Kim Darroch would have retired.
Right.
We're talking... where are we? July now. 5 months.
Mm.
If they'd have just not leaked it to the press, 5 months from now.
But surely an ambassador should be going, no matter where in the world, if you're an ambassador to that country, you're there to promote Britain and not complain as much about the American. It's mostly pro-British, taking pro-British messages to each country rather than reporting back on the negativity of each country. I always thought that was an ambassador's job. It doesn't.
You report back. It's a two-way street, as far as I've understood.
I've always thought
you
it
promote
was
British
more
interests,
promoting British interests,
but you also feed back to whichever leadership, blue, green, yellow, whatever, red, I should say as well, because the Labour Party of, I don't know why I left that one out. Ambassadors going back years, centuries even, have reported back to the leadership and gone, right, well, I've heard this. And you look at the outpouring of support for Kim Darroch, the amount of people he's done this and he's done a great job outweighs the leaks by any means. So he must be doing a good job.
Mm.
And it's dangerous territory to leak. These are confidential documents.
Yeah.
Where do you stop?
It's sad that it's happened, isn't it?
Where do you want to stop? Do you want to leak security briefings?
Mm.
You know, where do you want to stop with all these leaks? I mean, the journalism thrives on it. It does. But there's a matter of national interest as well. Kim Darroch is not the first ambassador to write to his prime minister and say, oh, prime minister, some difficult meetings, and I don't feel like anyone really understands what they're doing here. And it affects every country. This is not a Trump attack.
No.
This could have been Obama. There may have been... The ambassador may have gone, I've heard on the quiet, Obama really doesn't like David Cameron. Mm. And he might have fed back and gone, Prime Minister, I've heard Obama has made a number of derogatory comments about you. That, it may have been that. It may be... At the start, Reagan never liked Thatcher, and it may be that the US ambassador had gone, oh, well, she's quite difficult to deal with, Mr. President. This goes on all the time.
Well, I do think, though, if there was any chance, if I was ever going to put in writing in an email to anybody about something, if there was a chance that it could be seen in the wrong eyes, I just wouldn't do it. And I think at that level, you've got you can't, especially if you're an ambassador, you're supposed to be promoting the best of your country. You don't want bad relations. And I hear what you're saying, but I do think ambassadors in general are the ones supposed to be promoting your country in that country.
Absolutely, but
they shouldn't be criticising that country's government.
They're based in that country.
I know. But
they're our eyes and ears. Or I think the Prime Minister appoints ambassadors just as the President appoints ambassadors.
Hmm.
He wants trusted people on the... He or she, sorry, wants trusted people on the ground that will people that will know them that will be able to send an email.
Yeah, you're totally right. I do totally agree with you. I just, I think it's really sad, isn't it, that we can't
if you don't like him, if you don't agree with him, leave it. Form a new administration in this country, because he's due to retire at the end of the year. And no ambassador, not many ambassadors continue. Christopher Mayer, I don't think, went on beyond his term, the previous ambassador. You know, just leave it till the end. If you don't agree with it and you've got this, just say, look, even approach him and say, look, this has gone into the wrong hands. We've kept it out of the press. But just watch what you're saying.
Yeah.
Why does it have to go straight to the Mail on Sunday?
Mm.
It's just...
I'd never even heard of the American ambassador before this all blew up. And obviously I've lived in America for the last 11 years. And all we hear in America is the UK consulate. They do an amazing job promoting PR, great PR with Britain and American industry. It's all through the UK consulate. And they're fantastic. They put on huge events, industry events and networking events. And they really are forging the ties between the UK and the USA in all aspects. And I've had the utmost respect for them. And I thought the ambassador had something to do with that. I don't know how it works. I'm going to have to look into it. But, that's the job I always thought kind of was a more ambassador role. I didn't realise
that. But it's very apolitical, the ambassadors. You know, prime ministers come and then they can review. Sometimes if they say, well, he's only 2 years into his term, and they leave it, some of them do change it. It's in the gift of the new prime minister to do so. But they're just hard-working civil servants being rewarded for a career. The head of the civil service, Simon MacDonald, you don't know him. You've never seen him on the TV until that documentary Inside the Foreign Office.
Yeah.
When he actually spoke about it, you wouldn't have known who he was.
Mm.
But they are important links. And we're both right.
Mm.
I just have a pretty serious issue with it being done this way, and now the guy's lost his job when he was actually going to retire and would have probably retired anyway. If you don't agree with it, leave him alone.
that's probably a nice philosophy to have. Yeah, if you don't agree with it, just leave it alone.
Yeah, it's I just worry where we're going to be. You know, you don't interfere with it. You know, we wouldn't pass comment on any of the ambassadors appointed by President Trump. You know, if we don't like... Luckily, Woody Johnson?
I don't know. Is he the American ambassador?
The American ambassador to the United Kingdom.
Hmm.
I want to say Woody... I'm going to Google that now because that's a diplomatic mistake that I can't afford to go. And I'd like to go to the States at one point. yes. Businessman and a philanthropist. Woody Johnson is the ambassador here. A political appointment. Back Trump.
Hmm.
Does a good job, though. Do you not think Woody Johnson has sent an email to the president at some point going, oh, it's all kicking off. It's all kicking off here. And frankly, Prime Minister May is useless.
I don't know. I didn't realise that.
They're trusted positions. And I think if we want to start leaking what every ambassador said, World War III would start on Friday.
Maybe I've just totally got it wrong. I always just thought ambassadors were like, OK, America's great, America's amazing, let's do deals with America, let's forge these relationships, when they were in Britain. And we were like, that's what my idea of ambassadors
but
were.
But he was praised for... Kim Darroch was praised for his visit, for his handling of the arrangements for President Trump's visit, not last month.
Yeah.
So... couldn't have done that bad a job.
Exactly.
But the problem is with Trump, once you've besmirched him, that's it.
That's a good word, besmirched.
I know. It's like I swallowed a thought. Oh, there we go. I can't even say thesaurus. It's like I swallowed a thesaurus before I came up here.
Besmirched. I like that
besmirched,
word.
Besmirched, yes.
But yeah, you're right. The best line in the speech last night was the wheel.
The hamster wheel of doom.
We need to get off that hamster wheel of doom.
I'm surprised looking through the papers... not many picked up on that.
I picked up it, and you did as well.
But I thought that would
front page, yeah.
You know,
have Boris on a hamster wheel somehow.
Hamster wheel of doom. I love that. But it was the zest, and it was the energy. And if he's successful, you all know I backed Remain, and I still believe leaving isn't the right thing. But you know what? If he leads with such zest, and I like the careful planning, and, you know, we need to mitigate everything, and I like that. And it's nice that the guy who's probably going to be Prime Minister has got a bit of oomph about him, rather than this turgid last 3 years of nothing has changed and do vote for me. And I'm not making those comments.
And there's no sense of desperation with him. Everyone else, with even Jeremy Hunt, there's that desperation. With Theresa May, there was that desperation. With Boris, he's kind of just leading forthrightly, isn't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't sound desperate. He sounds to be... It's a leader, isn't it? It's leader talk.
I think it is. And I think it'll be different. I think we've had... But then I think we've had 3 years of very sort of...
It's been so depressing.
What's going to happen next? I think every day is going to be an adventure.
Mm.
I have my own opinions. I still think he may sell the country down the river. And I still think Brexit may not happen.
No.
But that's my personal opinion, because I still don't see how it's going to work. But equally, I will praise him where praise is due. The zest of which he spoke about. And not only that, other things as well. Jeremy Hunt, I think if they'd have picked someone like Bromsgrove's own Sajid Javid, I think it would have been a heck of a contest last night.
Yeah.
But Jeremy Hunt, I think somebody's in his ear saying that you're polling 50-50. And, you know, if you can land a few knockout blows, that will win you the contest. He's not. He landed a couple of blows, but let's be honest, there will just be bruises.
And you're not going to win against Boris, because he is so clever. I don't think anybody is as smart on the spot as Boris. Even though he mumbles and everything, he is super smart.
He just needs to lose the irritability.
Right.
I think somebody needs to get... And if Boris, if you are listening, come on the podcast. But if you are listening... Lose the irritability, because when you're leading with zest and with verve, you hold the room and you hold the TV audience. You're very noticeable. And I speak as someone with experience. When you're irritated, it's very noticeable.
Yeah.
And I speak as someone that's exactly the same. When I'm irritated, people really do get I'm irritated. It was very, very noticeable a couple of times. Very sort of irritated. The goal is open. The goalkeeper's having a sleep by the corner flag. The ball is near enough in the net. Don't shank it in at the corner flag. You know, it's there. The opportunity is just there now, and it will be confirmed. I don't see anything that's going to stumble him, but now it's about... You've pretty much got the Conservative members' vote. A proactive future Prime Minister would now be using the rest of this voting period thinking, right... Talk to the country now.
Right.
So that on day one, I'm going to get a leap and a head start and say, right, can I assuage people? Can I get people off the fence that are a bit nervous about Brexit? Can I say, look, this is going to work and do that?
Mm.
Because I don't see anything. I could be wrong. We could be sitting here in 2 weeks going, wow, that's another political shock.
When is it? It's 20...
Votes close 5 o'clock. On Monday the 22nd.
So we'll know.
And the current timetable is the Conservatives... I think Theresa May will take Prime Minister's questions on the 24th.
Right.
After which a new leader will be anointed.
Okay.
The same, if anyone remembers, it was only 12 years ago. The same sort of process Blair went through, took Prime Minister's questions, signed off, went to the palace, said to the Queen, I'm off. To which the Queen's probably going to go, I didn't know you were still here. And then new leader will go to the palace because...
So it doesn't all happen on the Monday. It's a few days or even...
Would have thought they will not start counting, but there's only 160,000 to count and there's only two ballots. It's not a general election where you're voting for five different candidates. I would have thought the announcement will probably be made on the Tuesday the 23rd. Theresa, because they've obviously got to seek time from Buckingham Palace as well, that if the Queen is in residence, because I do love this, a part of Britishness, that nobody, he will not be the Prime Minister until the Queen asks him to form a government.
Right.
That would be the whole Theresa May going, saying, ta-ra. That's a Walsall thing, if you haven't heard that before. And then Boris will be asked, and only then will he be Prime Minister, and then we'll probably have the lectern in Downing Street, a bit of a photo op, whether Carrie, his girlfriend, will be part of that.
And then he'll move into number 10.
And then he'll be number 10. Then the fun will begin.
Then the fun. Do you know what, though? I have got a bubbling excitement that it's all going to go to plan. I honestly think, I feel for the first time in a long time, I feel optimistic. Boris's optimism took me off that hamster wheel of doom a little bit, at least.
Yeah.
It's starting.
I don't think I ever climbed on it. I think I'm in the corner munching on the sort of uncertainty, the carrot stick of uncertainty, like many of us are. I don't think I ever doomed. I mean, I got it again this week. The Observer's letters page is a Ramona Central. And like, it does offend me, actually, guys, because
This is the only reason you invite me on this podcast, isn't it, Rob? Because you're like, we're saying both sides.
She's finally worked it out. But it does offend me, guys, because I have been open and honest of my own personal beliefs. But I like to think the Observer has carried both sides of the argument. And I've been proud to carry both sides of the argument because it just shows what a divided thing. If we've done more Remain-focused news stories, it's quite simply because more groups that want to remain are contacting us. But when we did the Euro elections, we contacted the Brexit Party for one of their newly elected MPs who spoke to us about, we gave, and if the Brexit Party put on an event in Worcester, if Nigel Farage comes to Worcester, if any of the MEPs come to Worcester, we will cover it. I will not shy away from giving a reputable party its views. Because there is this divide. And I'd like to meet the politician that heals this divide.
It's going to be Boris, Rob. Tell you. It's
who
gonna
knows,
be Boris.
Hey? Who knows? But we're getting close to lunchtime now, so why not talk about McDonald's?
Ooh.
Page 3, and actually I should introduce them and say we'll move on to stories you'll be reading on WorcesterObserver.co.uk. And one of the things that is going on and on and on and on is, McDonald's, they've bought the Harvester site at Purdiswell on Droitwich Road. It's fair to say a lot of people are very, very angry about it. And we've had a letter this week from residents living along Droitwich Road who have called on the council to throw out McDonald's plans. To give you an insight, anyone leaving Worcester down the Droitwich Road, the beautiful Harvester that's been closed now for about 6-7 months, McDonald's have bought it. And want to convert it into one of their, what's the
drive through?
No. A quote from McDonald's, one of their experience of the future restaurants.
Oh, what does that involve?
I have no idea. I presume it's the latest gadgets, when there's an iPad on the table and everything.
Right.
But they've bought it, they want it. But this is being built very close to a new school. The North Worcestershire Primary Academy. Purdiswell Primary School's also there as well. But also, you've been down the Droitwich Road. Anyone that is coming from either direction, especially if you're coming from Droitwich and wanting to turn into the McDonald's, that's one lane.
Oh, so that's going to cause problems.
So if there was traffic coming the other direction, the traffic that would build up all down Droitwich Road, but
maybe that's in the plans that they'll change.
I'd like to see it because I don't see what... I don't even think there's space for a filter lane because the road does narrow dramatically there. But Councillor James Stanley has organised a petition that's got more than 1,500 signatures against it. It will be debated at City Council Planning Committee in the coming weeks. I'm not sure it's this planning committee, which is on Thursday of next week. I think it may be the next one after that, but there's a lot of local opposition there. And we're very, very pleased that a very nice gentleman called Jack Carandine, who is a press officer for Bromsgrove District Council and Redditch Borough Council, but wrote in as a private citizen to actually voice his opposition. So, Jack, you're very, very kind to us, and we're happy to carry your views. You can read his letter in the paper. You can read the story online. Further in from last week's conversation also about the tragic death of an 18-year-old whose body was found in the River Severn. As typical, we recorded it the podcast last week, and not an hour later, the police actually confirmed that it was indeed Alessandro Frumenzi, a student at Heart of Worcestershire College from Leverkusen in Germany, who was studying in the city. And a GoFundMe crowdfunding page has been set up by family and friends in a bid to raise money towards the cost of his funeral now. And this comes alongside tributes that have been left at the base of Sabrina Bridge. If you're on the city side of Sabrina Bridge, you can go and see them for yourself. There's been a lot of flowers, candles and some posters and even some balloons left by devastated friends. And from all what I seem to be gathering, very, very, very popular young man who's going to be missed by a lot of people. They hope to raise the money, and as I checked before I came up here, I think they've already raised £1,000, which is terrific. And if you want to know more, it's www.gofundme.com/Alex Frumenzi, which is FRUMENZI.
Is he going to be buried in the UK? He won't be sent to...
I would have thought if his family are from Leverkusen in Germany, it's probably...
To go home.
Yes, an inquest, I should mention, as well, has been penciled in for September.
Oh, so sad.
He looks
like such a happy young man on the front page here. Oh, just tragic, isn't it?
It is absolutely tragic, and we will obviously find out more in September at the inquest, where the coroner will hear the evidence that I'm sure has been presented. And I think I'm going to hope to try and get there and cover it for The Observer to find out what happened, because there is a lot of rumour and conjecture. And as we said last week, and as I'm going to reiterate this week, we aren't going to speculate. And if you find speculation, please treat it as that. It is sheer speculation. No one will know the truth about what happened until, sadly, it is in front of a coroner. Moving swiftly on, because time is... We've spent ages on Brexit again. What will we talk about when Brexit is resolved?
I don't know. It's going to be hard.
It's going to be... These podcasts are going to be significantly shorter. One lovely story, page 3. If you're reading the paper, it's in the top right-hand corner. Youngsters from St George's C of E Primary School put on their running shoes because they got to meet Hannah England as part of a nationwide fitness drive. The school run was launched by DW Fitness in a bid to encourage parents and children in the city to become more active and get out and about, get the running shoes on and take a bit of exercise during the school summer holidays and beyond, of course, and when the sun comes out. Although looking out the window today, summer has gone on its tea break again. It's not raining, but the big yellow thing that was warming us last week seems to have gone on its holidays. But it's brighter, at least, if nothing else. It's a nice little initiative, great little picture as well. That will be, I think, on the website. I'm trying to remember when I scheduled that for the website. I think that's today, maybe tomorrow, on Wednesday or Thursday. But do take a look at the picture. It's a great picture, and all the kids thoroughly enjoyed having their picture taken by the looks of things. And we wish them all the very best at the school, and, of course, DW Fitness as well for this school run, because anything... As a parent of a four-year-old, I know that if they want to do something because school said it's a good thing and they want to get mum and dad involved, mum and dad get involved.
So you're going to be running, are you?
Well, let's not run before we can walk. one of the...
I think we should get you on one of these runs, Rob.
Well, one of the saddest stories, really, Stuart Denley Maxwell, the councillor who died, I'm sure people won't mind me sharing this story. It was told to... We were speaking in private, but it just reflects on the man that he was. He was talking about organising a 5K event. He said, "You should get involved." I said, "I'd really look at the..." Because if this was video, you would see that that was not possible.
you look pretty fit to me.
He was relishing the idea of getting me involved. And tragically, we know he's passed away now. And
oh, you need to do it in his honour.
So it is part of it is part of my thinking.
You've said it here now on the podcast.
I've not committed to anything. I've said... I've thought about it. There is one thing I did actually want to point out, that the by-election to replace Councillor Denley Maxwell will be on Thursday, August the 8th. It was a seat held by the former councillor by just 62 votes when he was elected in 2018 from the Liberal Democrats. And Worcester City Council would urge me to say it, and I'm more than happy to do so. Anyone in the area that isn't on the electoral roll in the area to vote for the city council elections, you've got until July the 23rd at 5 p.m. I think it may be different, but I know it's July the 23rd. To register to vote, visit gov.uk and search for register to vote to find out more. That's public service announcement for the week out the way. And I want to close this section before we do Claire's What's On. Because you know, regular listeners know I love to learn something. I learned something brilliant this week as part of a story, and I never knew this. I never knew we had a peace day at the end of World War I this country, a celebration of peace.
Why don't we still celebrate it?
I know. I never knew. I never, ever knew. But this year is 100 years since Peace Day.
Oh, let's have... So when is it?
19th of July, so that's... That's a week on Friday. It actually says in the story that's right in front of me, and I doubted myself. It's been held at Gellievelt Park. Members of the Worcestershire branch, the Worcester branch of the Worcestershire and Sherwood Foresters Regimental Association will be there to lay a wreath starting at 10:50, leading up to the traditional 11 a.m. Service. As well as remembering all those that made the ultimate sacrifice, though, marks exactly 100 years since Peace Day was held in London on July the 19th, 1919.
Oh, wow.
I never, ever knew this.
Let's bring it back, Rob. Spread the news.
The former Foreign Secretary, Lord Curzon, said that the end of the First World War should be celebrated. And because, obviously, although the guns fell silent on 1918, obviously you had the Versailles Treaty being... negotiated, have I got that right? The Treaty of Versailles.
Yeah.
Most important to get that right. That was still being negotiated. So it was left until 1919, and it was under the direction of Prime Minister David Lloyd George, no relation to me, that I know of. And on the morning of July the 19th, 1919, thousands gathered in London. Estimated 15,000 troops took part in the parade.
Wow.
15,000 troops.
When did the first cine films start?
Oh, no, you...
That was like kind of... There's some like at the First World War, isn't there? I wonder if there's any like old cine footage of that. That'd be amazing to see.
That would be amazing. And maybe... just give me an idea for a story. I will leave that there. But brilliantly, what this led on to, a monument... to those killed and wounded, was unveiled in Whitehall to mark the end point of the victory parade, and it was decorated with floral wreaths. And it was made of wood and plaster. It was replaced by one made out of Portland stone. And do you know what we call it? We call it the cenotaph.
I was about to say, is that the cenotaph? Okay.
But I never knew how that came to form. I learned so much in those 400 words.
So it's kind of Remembrance Day probably has overtaken Peace Day.
Yeah. But the cenotaph is there because it was created for Peace Day 100 years ago.
Oh.
It blew my mind. I'm sorry if it bores you. I really
I love it.
But it blew my mind writing that story because I never knew that. And I love learning. This is the joy of being newspaper editor. Is that I always like learning something. Another thing I like learning about is everything that's coming up in Worcester this week. And I think we'll do that now with Claire's What's on Worcester Roundup.
For all the things to do and see this week, it's Claire Bullivant with this week's What's on Guide.
Thanks, Rob. And I'm back with some fun things happening this weekend in town. My name is Claire Bullivant at the Worcester and Malvern Observers, and these are my top picks of things to do and see this week in the Worcester and Malvern areas. Starting off this action-packed weekend on Friday the 12th of July, I've got a couple of must-see live bands happening about town. The first is the GTs. They're going to be on at the Sociable Beer Company on Friday night. These guys think energetic mod, soul and ska type of music. Their influences, they tell me, are the Small Faces, The Who and The Maytales. They're really great. Mod, soul, ska and beer. What better combo could you possibly ask for? That's at the Sociable Beer Company Friday night. Also, I love the Official Receivers, and they're going to be on at the Mars Bar on Friday. If you're already a fan, then you know that these guys are just a fantastic night out. They'll get you everyone up dancing and singing along. For those of you who have yet to see the band, though, they honestly present one of the best bands around. They do lots of soul classics and they really appreciate your participation. So be there and shake, turn yourself loose and get down with some sweet soul music. And don't forget your tail feather. That's what they tell me anyway. It's going to be a great night. Then moving on to Saturday, the 13th of July, just outside Worcester in Droitwich, it's the Chateau Impney Hill Climb. This is on Sunday as well, so it's all weekend. Last year, there were over 16,000 people at the event. It really gets bigger and better every single year. It's a great weekend for the whole family, and it's obviously also an unmissable motorsport event. Basically, it's some really amazing cars racing around. There's also a fun fair there, food, drinks, loads of fun. It's a great weekend. You can get all the information on chateauimpneyhillclimb.com. Also on Saturday, I highly recommend Two Pianos happening at Huntington Hall. This is basically going to be the ultimate rock and roll piano concert. I haven't seen them, but I've read all about it. And you join the sensational Two Pianos as they take you on a stunning musical journey back in time to celebrate the finest hits that shaped the rock and roll music scene. Hits from Jerry Lee Lewis, Elvis, Fats Domino, Ray Charles, Buddy Holly, all the greats are represented. And they tell me it's a night not to be missed. Also, Jerry Lee Lewis himself saw the show and he said Two Pianos rock. So that's a bit of an endorsement there, isn't it? TheTwoPianos.com for all the details. Another great Saturday night would be spent at Rhythm of the Dance, happening at the Swan Theatre in Worcester. This is a two-hour trip through hundreds of years of Irish dance and music, featuring 22 award-winning world and Irish dance champions with 25 dazzling costume changes. There's going to be flailing fiddles, flutes, inspiring dances, along with live vocalists, all complemented by a top live Irish trad band. 5 million fans across 50 countries have already been to see the show. Make sure you don't miss out. Tickets from Worcester Live. A couple of live bands to mention on Saturday night. Tom Davis, he's going to be putting on a show at the Swan Inn in Barbourne. Immy and the Boatmen and Poppy WS are on at the Worcester Brewing Company Saturday night. The Fireballs UK, they're going to be playing at the Chestnut in Worcester on Saturday. And Straighten Out, a brilliant Stranglers tribute band, they're going to be on at the Mars Bar in Worcester on Saturday night. Also, the Powder Room, they're rocking it over in Malvern at the Cross Keys on Saturday evening. Moving on to Sunday, the 14th of July, my top pick is to go and see the Film Orchestra Concert Band at 2:30 p.m. in Priory Park in Malvern. This is always a lovely afternoon there. Take a blanket and a picnic and enjoy the live music. Perfect Sunday afternoon. And also in Malvern on Saturday, the BBC are in town. It's their BBC introducing show happening at Malvern Cube. This is the BBC supporting the very best music from across our region. They've been running these events since 2005 and it all helps showcase some of our area's most talented musicians. And in this show, they've handpicked some of their favourite acts to join us on stage at the Malvern Cube. Apparently, many of the artists don't even know they're being considered, and they really hope that this inspires people to keep sending in their music to the BBC, as they say that they really do listen to everything. The admission is free. There's a bar. Doors open at 7 p.m, and that's all happening at the Malvern Cube on Sunday evening. And that concludes my top picks to do this weekend. If you have an event that you'd like included, please do get in touch with us. You can email us your event details or give us a call and we'll help you publicise it to all our readers and listeners of this podcast. And we'll also pop you on our social media channels. Thanks so much for listening and have a great week. Back to you, Rob.
You're listening to the Worcester Observer podcast because you have impeccable taste.
Thank you, Claire. I think we've put the world to rights again this week.
We have. And it's so nice that we always have these, like, very political or, you know, difficult discussions, but we never fall out, do we?
No, we haven't.
The whole country needs to learn a lesson from us.
Indeed. You ought to hear when the microphone goes off, though. Then it gets testy, but I'm joking, of course.
Well, you keep inviting me back,
I know I'm sucker for punishment. No, thank you so much. And thank you for listening as well. If you don't listen, then there's no point us doing this. And hopefully you're enjoying it. Get in touch with me, editor@worcesterobserver.com. clarebullyvant.co.uk with any questions, any ideas, anything you want to see on the podcast. If you're a local group, get in touch on that email address. We want you on. We want to raise the profile of you. Don't think you're too small or insignificant or no one will be interested. People will be interested in you, so come on and make your voice heard and contact us. This is where I look at the screen to remind what social media we've got. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, apparently, which is really, really popular. And I've got emails about Instagram now and all sorts of things. And also a pigeon. We haven't got the bee here this week, but I'm sure a pigeon would bring us a message if you paid it enough. Until next week, though, I think we better sign off. I've been your host, Rob George. Thank you for listening. I think we're done here. Bye-bye.
Bye.